Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Bert Show.
All right, they've broken up, but he's still pretending like they are a happy little family. What does she do? Coming up in just a minute.
All right, two stories circulating this morning that are bad news for teachers. Really bad news. So there's this teacher in Kansas that was really feeling pretty secure about his job. So decided to go on TikTok and confess a couple of things he does as a teacher.
Teachers, if a student is annoying you, just remember, you can lie. I teach history. I tell my students the wrong stuff all the time when they annoy me. I tell them that Abraham Lincoln invented the car. That's why it's named after him. I tell them Logan Paul and Jake Paul had a great-grandfather named Paul Revere because they don't even know how names work anymore. And I crop dust them, and then I just let it stew. And then I walk away, and I go, oh, my God, it stinks over there. And then they have to sit with it. And you know what? They can't fire me because they need me too badly.
He got fired.
No. He did.
He got fired.
But of course, he had to have been joking, right?
I don't know. They say he's a teacher slash comedian, so I'm sure that's going to be his defense. Like, I was just making a joke, but it's too late. They fired him.
Oh, gosh. Poor guy.
Well, he had job security. They're not going to let me go. They need me. Bye-bye, teach.
Apparently, teachers aren't allowed to be funny, Abby. Oh, I hate that. That's why school was so miserable.
And the second one is a Texas kindergarten teacher, and she realized there was a kid in class, super hyper, right? And somehow desperate to get this kid to calm down just a little bit. So the teacher decided that she would give the students melatonin gummies to calm them down.
They found it was melatonin gummies. They did find the bottle in the classroom, from what I understand. We just noticed, at least on three occasions when he came home, he was completely lethargic. He was stumbling to get off the bus. She had called me a few times asking, what do you do at home? What do you suggest at home to get him to calm down? He's very active, and we sometimes have a hard time getting him to focus back on the task at hand.
Absolutely not. I am filing charges. Mm-hmm. The school's getting a lawsuit. You have drugged my child. All hell is going to break loose.
She needs to be fired. She needs to lose her teaching license.
Yes.
And on top of that, she needs to be hit with child endangerment charges. Like, that is... You don't drug children. I'm sorry. Especially not ones that you're own. The only people who are allowed to drug children are doctors.
Which is the bigger offense, the melatonin or crop dusting the kids?
Melatonin.
Let me think. A fart versus drugging my child.
I mean, it depends on what his farts smell.
You know,
like
the biggest offense is saying that the Lincoln was named after Abraham Lincoln.
Those gummies are deceptively delicious, so I can see how this happened. By the way, my gummy vitamins are really good. Like, I eat one, and it takes every ounce of my being not to pop another one in my mouth.
Yes, that's the truth. All right, on to the email. She is very, very confused. Social media and relationships, man, they'll screw you up on a bunch of different levels.
Dear Bert Show, my boyfriend and I broke up a few months ago after almost 10 years together. Listen, the reason doesn't matter. It was a hard, emotional breakup, considering there are kids involved. We decided not to tell most of our friends or even family until we both settled what our future looks like. So that means right now we are still living together. Here's what I can't understand. Why does my boyfriend keep posting pictures as one big happy family? I stopped posting because I didn't want my friends and family to be misled. It made no sense to me. But he seems to have stepped it up and is posting even more family photos lately, given the appearance that everything is perfectly fine. I can't figure out why. I'd love to get your input before I talk with him about it. Is there something I'm not seeing? My ex is still very important to me, so I don't like to think the worst, but why? Just why?
All right, anybody? 1-855-BIRCHO. When it comes to social media and relationships, I'm not on real solid footing anyway, but I can't understand what the calculation would be behind it. Like, why add? Because at some point or another, you're going to have to tell the world and tell your family, like, this, we're done. And maybe they're going to know the timing, maybe they're not, but why step it up now?
It feels like you're setting people up for an even bigger fall. I'm wondering if he's having a hard time accepting that this is over. So this is his way of still living in the past. And he hasn't been able to fully accept the present.
Yeah, people do this a lot with, like, their wedding photos, too. Like, once they realize it's, you know, everybody in their life's birthday, they're like, let me post another photo of my wedding. So maybe he's realized, oh, I have all these beautiful photos of our family. I got, like, maybe 3 more weeks to be able to acceptably post these. Maybe he's just going for it.
And also, maybe, because we have minimal information here, maybe he's hoping that if I post all of this, she'll realize we're actually supposed to be together. So it's a little bit of like a manipulation tactic. Mm. Like, see how great everything is, or see how great everything could be. And why are we even doing this?
Like, you're going to let all this go? Mm. Look at all. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cass, you're the social media director. You have any opinion on?
I think it sounds like, also, there's, like, reputation, right? Like, if you've always had the picture-perfect family and everything's great, and then it's not, like, it's an embarrassment to sort of publicly admit that for some people. I just think it's going to make it worse in the long run if those pictures are continued to be posted, and when it, like, they do end up moving out. It's going to be weird because everyone's going to be like, well, you were just fine. Mm-hmm. What happened? And it's going to make it seem more on. Whereas if it had tapered off quietly, people have been like, oh, I thought I saw the signs coming on social. That makes sense.
Well, have you ever noticed that people who are genuinely content in their real life tend to stay off social media the most? I almost feel like it's sort of like he's compensating or wanting to put on a front that even though he's really hurting in his personal life with his family, maybe getting the validation of posting happy family photos is going to somehow even that out.
I also think there might be another, like, sinister plot behind it, and they're trying to make themselves look like the good guy before the news goes public.
Oh.
That's good. So the pictures and what have you get posted, and then when they finally have to go public with it, then the family's already on. He's posting the pictures?
Yes, he's posting all the pictures of, like, look at us, we're happy, we're doing so good.
So if they break up, he can blame her.
Yeah.
She
ends up looking
like, the strategy is here. Everything was great. I was having the amazing time. Or he was having an amazing time, and he puts it on her.
That is massive manipulation. That's Machiavellian.
That's low.
That's
low. And there's no other explanation for it. Because it makes zero sense to me, Elsa.
Yeah, no, I mean we just thrown out like about 6 different conspiracy theories. And I'm looking at the phone calls, but I mean, Monique says she should ignore it, but that stuff is really hard to ignore when it's right there in your face. Like, I do feel that's a conversation that needs to be had between partners. I don't feel like you can ignore that. I mean, we can go ahead, Tommy. Let's take number one, Monique. Hey, Monique, welcome to the show. So you think that she should just ignore it and not address it with him?
Not ignore it completely, but I got taken to Ohio because he's from Ohio with his family as a family. And when we got there, his mom was like, so are you guys still together? I said, not really. And he was like, okay, well, not really is like loosely. And I was like, are you serious? So what I did was just ignore him the whole time. Like, I wasn't really even there.
Gotcha.
So, and what's his motive for that? Just because he hadn't told the family yet?
He's narcissistic. He has not told the family. It's all about him. And as long as he's comfortable, he won't make any change. So you have to make him uncomfortable.
Appreciate you calling. Thank you. All right, so advice there is to just ignore it?
No.
Don't bring it up?
Yeah, my advice is to like be like, what the hell are you doing? Like,
I think so too.
Yes.
I mean, the relationship is over anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well just go for it. Go, what are you doing?
Yeah, you need to get on the same page with that for sure.
Got nothing to lose.
The Burt Show.
All right, Abby just got done with this amazing bachelorette trip for her cousin that she, I tell you what, I learned so much about women and bachelorette parties watching her Instagram stories the last couple of weekends because every beautiful small detail was taken care of. The bride seemed so happy. You just did an amazing job. But you say there's one thing people need to watch out for.
Yeah, and I think a lot of women and maybe even men going on bachelor parties will kind of relate to this because like you said, I was posting up on social media, put a lot of work into making this bachelorette look good, and I wanted to make sure everybody had a good time too as well. But I will say throughout the entire experience, there was kind of one thing that was lingering in the back of my head, and I kind of had to push it down because I didn't want my negative feelings to get in the way of everybody else having a good time.
Your negative feelings?
Yes, and I know what you're thinking. You're probably like, oh my God, Abby, your younger cousin's getting married. You're upset that you're not in a relationship and you're bitter. And that's not what I was feeling at all. I'm actually very surprised at how, like, this makes me sound petty, but I'm surprised at how unbitter I feel. Like, I'm not really... I'm just kind of numb to the fact that I'm not in a relationship. But there was actually genuinely one thing I was very envious of on the bachelorette trip, and for me that was being a part of her experience and seeing just how many people are so invested in her and her fiance's relationship and invested in her. And it really made me feel kind of lonely because I'm going through kind of a dry season with my friendships right now. And there was this one part of the bachelorette trip where we were at this restaurant, and one of the girls brought it up unprovoked on her own, and she said, let's all go around and do an affirmation circle, and let's all say one thing that we really appreciate about the bride. And so 10 girls all had these heartfelt and deep emotional stories about their friendship with my cousin. And
I'm sure that was beautiful and made her feel so loved.
It was beautiful and loved. And then I'm sitting over here like,
wait, was it was something that would never happen at a bachelor party, right, Bert?
No.
You guys don't do affirmation circles?
You would be laughed out of the strip club.
You would have the strippers do the affirmation, but say something about, you know, his body or whatever. But it was so beautiful. I mean, she has like the greatest group of friends, and I'm like, dang, like, where did you find these people?
Yeah.
And it was, admittedly, I was kind of sitting there going, if I were to get married, God willing, in like the next year, I don't even know that I could chalk up 10 people to be in the party, let alone have 10 people be in the party and have like those deep emotional connections and stories to talk about. I'm kind of going through a dry season right now with friendships, and it's just been really rocky and difficult. And I really had to fight against like wanting to be upset in the moment for me, and obviously focus all my attention on making sure that she felt special, because I'd already done that period with planning and making it beautiful, but like emotionally I wanted to make sure that I was present as well.
I know you are calling it a dry season, and I'm sorry, that really sucks. I've been there and it's not a good feeling, but I think maybe it's another way to look at it too, is it's a season of growth for you. You know what I mean? Like, even a, God, that's a bad analogy. I was going to say a snake has to shed its skin. Like, well, because Taylor Swift and the snakes, whatever, bad analogy. My point is, like, growing sucks, and you're going to lose people as you continue to grow and become an even better version of yourself, and there'll be collateral damage, and it can be lonely, but at the end, when you come out of it, there's so much more waiting for you. And you have at least me and Kristen. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's two people, and we're really good at making emotional connections. Okay, no,
here we go. We're going to do an affirmation circle for Abby right now, everybody.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Okay.
Bert, you can sit this one out.
All right,
hold on a second. I'm trying to challenge my sensitive self. Okay.
Get out of dark mode, Bert, and get into light mode, Bert.
You have no idea how hard that is right now, but go ahead.
All right, Cassie, please start off our affirmation circle for Miss Abby. Mm.
Abby, I think you are a bubbly, wonderful, fun person. Your dark side is also some of my favorite. But you are one of the few people who I have met who I have felt an instant connection with. And we have bonded over so much. And you have made me not feel like a total weirdo for liking fairy fantasies.
That is true.
I love your creativity. You make me laugh every single day. I think your wit sometimes flies under the radar. I think you are
on it when it comes to pop culture. I think you're incredibly talented and a very skilled comedian as well. And a great writer, too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Oh, my God. That was so nice.
All right.
Who wants to follow that?
We're going
to
save Bert for last. All right. So, Abby, from the old woman in radio to the young woman in radio, I have absolutely been in awe at how spectacular you have been joining the show. Your radio IQ is through the roof. And not only that, your work ethic is impeccable. When you do something, you do it to the nth degree. You cross every T, you dot every I, you bring your A game to the show every single day. And you have no issue going above and beyond to make sure that not only the segment shines, but the people around you shine. Now, aside from how awesome you are at your job as a person, the fact that you have shown up to every single Burt's Big Adventure reunion and you haven't even gone on a trip yet just shows how pure your heart is. Like, you truly care about people, and you always want to make sure you're giving your absolute best, and people can feel that. There's already Burt's Big Adventure kids who are attached to you, and they've literally met you once. And I think that's so beautiful because you make them feel special and welcomed. How you are as a daughter, how you are as a sister. I'm still not mad that you took your brother to Taylor Swift over me. That's totally fine. No, but you're just like, I'm a big person, and Bert can attest to this. It takes a lot to break my walls. You're genuinely a good person with a kind heart, and you deserve the absolute best.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
You're welcome. All right, Bert.
we can like end it here.
I like the way you do your hair.
Thank you. It's called messy bun and not washing it for 4 days.
I will add to what they said. I really appreciate your grit. Only because you have told us that you sort of catastrophize everything and you're an anxious little thing, like one of those shaky little chihuahuas. On the outside, though, you show grit every single day. Like Kristen said, I have never seen sort of a noob come in studio and be as fearless and just get right in and get dirty as soon as you have. And that takes a lot of grit and a lot of strength. And I really appreciate that for you, not only in your professional life, but your personal life also. I think you're awesome.
Oh, thanks, Bert. Thanks, guys. Oh, y'all didn't have to do that. That was so nice. I feel better about myself.
And I like the way you do your hair.
The Bert Show.
So I might not be on my A game today.
You think? What happened, boo-boo?
Maybe
what happened?
So just behind the scenes, we tape our texting tutors a couple of days before we play them for you guys, because generally they take a long time. The last thing you guys want to do is hear back and forth when there's just a lot of editing that has to take place. So they would be an hour long if we tried them live, right? So we tape them on Wednesdays and we play them for you guys on Fridays. So this morning, I'm not doing the show from in studio. I'm at a friend's house in Florida. So as I was doing the tease coming into this texting tutor, I teased last week's texting tutor and not the one that we actually recorded 2 days ago.
And you did that knowing, like, what was in the schedule, what was written was correct.
Yeah, you and Tommy put together the schedule flawlessly, and it told me what I was supposed to be plugging. But through my cloudiness this morning, because, yeah, Florida is a medical marijuana state, and I'm short, so I got some. that I might be a little bit cloudy this morning. So your tease was perfect, but my mind went back to last week.
You did.
So
you time traveled, Fred.
I time traveled. I absolutely time traveled. So this texting tutor, Kristen, do you want to explain exactly what it is before we hit it?
Sure. Her best friend just got broken up with, and she wants to move the friend into her house for a few weeks. But her husband hates this woman. Hates a strong word. He's highly annoyed by her. So she needs our help texting her husband saying, hey,
that's it. That's the one.
I need our friend, or excuse me, my friend to move in while she's going through this tough breakup. Does that sound familiar?
It sounds like we recorded it on Wednesday.
We did. And now you get to hear it here.
So Brianna here is trying to be a really good friend. She's got a best friend that just broke up with her boyfriend. And she's like, I get it. Come to my house. I'll embrace you in love and support. Except she knows that her husband is not going to be happy about this whole idea. And she wants our help, I think, to text the husband. Hey, Brianna.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Do I have all that right?
You do, yes. I really, really want to help out my friend. I love her so much, but my husband is not a huge fan, and I have no idea how to go about this.
All right, so let's establish a couple of things. Who did you know first, the friend or the husband?
The friend.
Okay. And what is it about her he finds so incredibly annoying?
She sometimes has no filter. Like, she like kind of just intrudes on conversations and says what's on her mind. It's all out of love, and it's all like coming from a good place, and like she has the most beautiful heart. But I can see how it can sometimes be like kind of frustrating.
Oh, it's the
opinion, you know?
It's the, oh, I'm just being honest friend.
Yeah.
That too.
When you didn't ask for honesty, which makes you a B.
Can come across a little abrasive.
Right.
Gotcha.
So either way, he's super, super annoyed with her, but like...
Yeah.
And now explain, like, define for us the friendship with your best friend. How long have you known her? Have all four of you guys gone out? Like, does he know the ex and all that?
Yeah, no, he does. She and I went to college together, so I've known her about 15 years or so. And he and I have been together for about 6 years. We all... did go out together. Like, we've gone on dates, and like he has accepted her. He likes her. Like, he doesn't hate her.
Yeah.
But I know that there's a lot of things that annoy him about her, and like the living together is a whole nother thing, you know? But it's temporary, right? Like, it's not going to be forever. It's just like, she just needs something. She has no place to live. Like, what am I supposed to do? Just sit there? You know, I have room for her. Mm-hmm.
So explain the situation. What has recently happened with her and her boyfriend?
Yeah, so they had been together for about 3 years. She wanted to get married, and I think that they thought they were on the same page, and he realized that he did not, and that, like, his feelings for her had shifted. So she's, like, heartbroken, too. You know, it's not like she this was, like, a mutual breakup. Like, he was just like, I don't think we're on the same page, and, like, I don't see you being my wife kind of thing. So it's hard.
And they reside in the same home, and
yes,
she's the one that needs to move out?
Yeah.
Oof.
You've already made the invite?
No. Well, okay. To her, yes. Hmm. You know, we've kind of been like dabbling around the subject. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, you know, like that. I haven't explicitly said anything, but
Have you said anything like, okay, let me run this by whatever your husband's name is, and I'll get back to you? Have you said anything like that?
Yes, I actually did. Yeah. Okay. So that's where we are now, you know? Like, that's what I mean. I didn't explicitly say, you'll come and live with us, you know? But definitely was like, let me, like, try to talk to John about this. So here we are, and I just need some guidance here.
Well, hopefully she understands, like, you know, it's not just your home, it's your and your husband's home.
Right.
So before you can invite anybody, regardless of what the relationship is, into your all's home, you have to ask him, not tell him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. And I wouldn't do that. You know, I wouldn't just be like, she's coming.
Yes.
You know, like, I want him to have a voice. I'm a huge advocate of people having a voice always, even if we don't necessarily agree.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to figure out the best tactic.
Well, that's a nice philosophy in your marriage that you're given in that space to have a voice.
Thank you. Well, I expect him to do the same for me.
That's nice. That's a nice arrangement.
The problem is, if he does have a voice and the voice is no, then her best friend knows that her best friend's husband hates her and won't help her in her great time of need.
I'm wondering if he's that reluctant to it when we come back here in a couple of minutes and we start texting him for you. If we just work on getting her in the house first, and then once the reality of that happens, then, I mean, once she's there, she's there. So the week might become a week and a half or 2 weeks.
He's going to want a date.
Yeah.
Right,
for
sure. To being like as opposed to being like, can she live with us? Just being like, can she stay for a little? Like,
right.
You know what you mean? Yeah.
Well, that, and you also, I mean, before you even engage with this with your best friend, you guys need to set up boundaries and parameters. We have had situations like this so often on the show, and people just do it willy-nilly without discussing an end game, and you and your best friend need to have an end game. Otherwise, that's it could get very awkward between the two of you.
Yeah, Chris is not a fan of willy-nilly.
No. I'm a fan of the nilly, but not when you put the willy in front of it.
I thought you liked Willy.
No, that's me. I like Willy.
Okay.
Don't get us mixed up.
Right. Stop being silly.
All right, Brianna, when you, we come back here, we'll start texting your husband. We'll come up with some kind of game plan and try to get his approval to let the best friend and come hang out for at least a little while. Then when she's there, then it's up to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, we'll start texting Tudor next.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It doesn't sit right with my soul. That's kind of been a fun theme we've been playing with on The Burt Show lately, where you're getting something off your chest that's just not sitting right with you. Like when I threw a sick burn at Abby and then immediately felt bad, and she did the same thing to Kristen and also felt bad right away. Now, we're all good and that was all in good fun, but sometimes you're not quite ready to confront your problems head on and you need someone to talk to. And while we love talking to you guys about your drama, sometimes it's above our pay grade and you need a professional to give you advice. I've been to therapy, and there's something so freeing about unloading your problems on a therapist that has your back and you know is there to help you. And that's where BetterHelp comes in. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BurtShow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BurtShow.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
All right, so we're about to start texting Tudor for Brianna. We are going to text her husband. Brianna's a really good friend, and her best friend just broke up with her boyfriend. They were living together. She has nowhere to live right now. She doesn't have a lot of cash, so as a best friend does, she said, hey, maybe let me run the idea of you hanging out with, in our house, by my husband, John.
I like how you're calling it hanging out.
Yeah.
Not so, live here. Hang out.
Moving in.
Just kicking it.
Right. Yeah. Moving in with the husband. The thing that you need to know if you aren't listening before is that hubby is not a real big fan of this best friend. You just think she's really super annoying because she doesn't have a filter. She just says what's on her mind, right? And that can be pretty annoying. So we got to start texting the husband just to get the approval.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. I feel like in this instance, we need to go thick.
Thick.
We need to lay it on thick.
Desperate, right?
With the husband. Okay. So I would start with, good morning, babe. Or what's your pet name for him?
Yeah, I say babe all the time. Okay. Good morning, babe.
Good morning, babe. Have I told you lately how much I love you?
Oh, wow.
No. It's a running joke in our household. I do this to my husband all the time.
Yeah, except she's not married to Bart.
I know. And I'm always like, I love you so much. And he just looks at me and goes, what do you want?
I think we got to brace him for the ask right off the bat.
Okay. Good morning, babe. I have something I need to run by you.
Okay, should I send this?
Hold on 1 second.
Wait.
So I'm asking the guy specifically, if you got that, because this is me parsing it out, and I know, or parsing it out, and I know how I would feel. Is run by better or is ask? Because I know ask gives him the right to say no at that point. We usually avoid that. Ooh. But if my husband was like, I need to run something by you, I'd be like, oh, really? You're just running it by me? You're not asking me if someone can move into our house? But I don't know if y'all think as demented as I do.
I actually feel like run by would make me more at ease.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Run by.
Okay.
Send.
All right.
So that's obviously going to get his attention. It's going to be something like, he's not going to think it's this serious. So yeah, what's up is what he's going to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you know that blank just broke up with her boyfriend and he is kicking her out.
She is devastated. I can barely get her off the floor.
He's kicking her out. She has nowhere to go.
She's about to be homeless.
Oh,
yes.
Wait. Okay. So he said, he responded. He said, what's going on? ... Little busy at the moment.
He's a little busy. Okay. I don't like bothering people.
This could work to our advantage.
Abort mission.
Yeah. We'll talk later.
Okay. Yeah.
I know, right? He doesn't want to be bothered. But obviously, I need to do this now.
So here's what I do. Because Chad will pull this. And I'll be like, no worries about it. We can talk later. And his insatiable curiosity will be like, no, tell me now. So that way you acknowledge that he has said he's busy. So, hey, babe, we can talk later. It's important. We can talk later. And then he's going to want to know so badly what it is.
Yes.
He'll give you permission, but you're the good wife for acknowledging that he's busy.
Chestnut checkers.
Chestnut checkers.
Chestnut checkers.
So we're going to roll the die. We're going to roll the die here, Brianna. Put it's important, comma, we can discuss later, period.
Nobody could deny that.
Yes. Oh, my God. Okay. Send?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Dude, you just got played.
Watch him right back and be like, thanks, babe.
That would be me.
Right.
I'm so opposite of Chad.
Gotcha.
I would be like, yes. Cross that bridge when I get there.
This might be the shortest texting tutor ever. If he says that, we're done.
Uh-huh.
He said, okay.
All right. Okay. Are you serious?
Like, okay, like, let's talk later?
Oh, so we could play dumb.
I mean, I guess so. He said okay with a period.
That's exactly what I
wanted. Damn.
We play dumb and act like the okay was giving us permission to move forward and ask. Like, okay, go ahead.
I mean, I think he's just like okaying the fact that I said we can discuss it.
Yeah, we know that, but we're playing.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
Cassie is suggesting that we play stupid here, like, okay, man, just tell me now, but that's not going to work.
We have painted ourselves in a corner.
Yeah, bad.
No.
We're down
absolutely
bad right
not.
Now.
Brianna, on behalf of everyone here, I am so sorry.
What do we do?
Well, as I have said numerous times before, this is a very important decision.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have this conversation in person later. I really honestly don't see how we move forward without it setting off on the wrong foot.
Now, I mean, does this mean you know him obviously better than we do?
Uh-huh.
If he is pushing this off, he is in a very important meeting or something like that, that he can't focus on it?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that. Also, like, there is this weird part of me that's like, talking about this through text is probably quote unquote dangerous. You know what I mean? Like, how do we like, and then the other thing with text messaging, as we know, and what we're trying to do here is like, you can take the time to like think of a response and like, maybe we need to like give each other the space to like talk in real time, even if it's difficult. I don't know.
No, for sure. I mean, this is a conversation that you should be able to have in person with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
here comes Cassie again.
Here's how we twist it. It's not going to go over well, but I think we can do it. We won't text back. You go ahead and invite your friend to live with you for a while. And when husband gets mad, you can say, I tried texting you about it this morning, but I know you were so busy and it was an emergency. She had to be out today.
That's like a worse idea than Chris said. I didn't think it could get any worse than Chris's initial idea. That's way worse.
Literally his fault. She tried. He shut her down.
Absolutely not.
No, we'll talk about it later with your best friend by your side crying.
All right, let's work on something here productive, okay? Yeah. So we're going to give up on this texting thing, and let's just walk you through when you guys do have the conversation, what you come in with, okay?
All right, so Brianna, when does she have to be out?
Within the week.
Within the week, okay.
Yeah.
So tonight, when you go home...
And you've shaved your legs.
Yep.
And you got the good panties on.
Yep. Mm. And after you guys do it, and you're laying in bed, and you're post-bliss sex... No, I'm just kidding. I would have some booze, favorite cocktails, and... Just be open. I feel like you can't go wrong with honesty and authenticity. No, seriously.
Tell us how you really feel.
I've
been doing this show 23 years. This is the first time that's been suggested.
Whatever. And when you sit down, be like, before you say anything, okay? I want you to hear me out. I want you to hear me out before you interject or say anything. And that's when you start with, and what name are we using for your friend?
Jenna.
Jenna. All right. So, Jenna and Robert have broken up. She is devastated. She's in a very low, very bad place right now. He is staying in the house, and she does not have anywhere to go. You know, as she is my dearest friend, I also know that while you do like her, she's not your favorite person, and she does have some personality quirks that annoy you. But this is a friend that's in need. And I was really hoping she could crash here for a little bit until she can find a new place to live.
Let me run this by Mo here, because I think this is important for a guy also, that if we put her in a position of having no power in it, her friend, he's kicking her out. That's why.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, she has absolutely nowhere to turn. And this is urgent right now. I think that is important.
You got to lead with desperation.
Okay. Lead with desperation.
Yeah.
And also lead with desperation and end with an out. She's not going to be there forever. This is just temporary until she can find a place, right? Like she is going to find a place. She's going to be out soon. She just needs somewhere to go until she has time to find a place.
And I think in your back pocket somewhere, you have to put this. You have to make him empathize, because if this happened to his best friend and the best friend was being kicked out, you certainly would be open to that idea. You would immediately say yes to that.
That's good. And I would also phrase it as if she already came to you wanting to stay and needing a place to stay like now, but you told her to hold off so that you can speak to your husband first.
Oh, that is good. That is really good. This fake respect is really good.
Brianna, are you taking notes?
Yes, no, this all sounds good. And then something you guys said earlier, just about the end game, like actually saying, oh, maybe all of us can have a discussion, you know, before we move forward with this, like to put some boundaries and dates on this, right? Like so that he has all the information and he doesn't even think it's like some wishy-washy, like she'll leave at some point, you know?
Right, boom.
But when you're giving dates, don't say a month. Just say the 31st. And that way it could be October, November, December, January, whatever you need.
Yeah, okay.
I know later on we'll be like, oh, we set a number. Hmm. We just set a number.
I think you're equipped.
I think so, too.
To get into this discussion with him. Remember,
I appreciate it.
Desperation. She's being kicked out. Desperate. Mm-hmm. You would definitely do this for him. And what was the last thing
that you said? Fake respect.
Fake respect. And the fake respect.
But I would definitely do this for you. That kind of sounds like a guilt tactic. Like if somebody said that to me, I feel like I was being manipulated in the conversation. I would keep that in your back pocket and only whip it out in a dire situation.
Okay.
Be like, if Carl came to us and needed a place to live, we would let him stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And when in doubt, cry.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Mace yourself. Pepper spray yourself. Uh-huh. Do whatever you got to. Take the saddest thing that's ever happened to you and keep that in your back pocket also.
I'll try. I'm not good with like crying on cue, but maybe I'll need to cry.
That's what the mace is for.
That's what the pepper spray's for. Okay. Good luck. Let's talk to you on Monday. Find out how it all went. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
Not expecting him to say okay.
Me neither.
Obviously.
Only man ever.
The Burt Show.
I've got two Instagram follow-ups that we can talk about today and then check back on Monday if they continue to DM me, okay?
All right.
Do this real quick. So I don't want to give her Instagram name out, but she hits me like half an hour ago and she says, "Hey, Bert, huge fan of the show, and I could use your advice and Mo's. I want to say hi to my gym crush before I switch gyms, but I'm not sure how in a way that's not creepy. I was planning to just say, hi, hey, and ask if he wants to get a drink, but should I make small talk first? Thanks." Okay, so I went in there. This is the perfect scenario for a dude right here, and the perfect scenario for her as well, because she already knows she's leaving the gym. All right, she's got nothing to lose. So I wrote back, and Mo's not on the show today, so I couldn't ask him. So I wrote, "Yes, go for it. Dudes love capital letters. The relief when women make the first move. And do it with a lot of confidence. The awkwardness will be 30 seconds out of your life, max. Go into it confidently, knowing this is just a 30-second project. If this works out in the long run, it's worth the 30-second risk. You got this. Confident. Hit me back. Let me know how it goes." Okay? It's only 30 seconds. But we get ourselves so wrapped up in how uncomfortable it's going to be that I think we make a bigger deal out of it than not. Right? It's 30 seconds out of your life.
Make it happen, girl.
And the second one was, where is she? She has lost her engagement ring. And she was asking me, here it is. Help. What's that prayer for lost things? I can't find my engagement ring. I'm messaging your whole team because I'm freaking the F out. So the prayer that she is talking about is the prayer to Saint Anthony that I've been talking about for 20 years. Saint Anthony is super bored. I feel like every time I pray to Saint Anthony, he picks up on the first ring and always does what I ask. There must be a bunch of saints up there, and everybody's like a telethon. All the phones are ringing except his. So
you had a unique visual of heaven.
So when you do the prayer for Saint Anthony, I told you guys before that my ex-wife and I were going on our honeymoon, and obviously we're going to Greece, so obviously you need a passport. And the night before, she decides to start looking for the passport, the night before our honeymoon, and she can't find it anywhere. She is in our apartment, she is looking all over the place, up, down, all over. And I went to bed that night thinking, okay, so maybe we won't go to Greece. Maybe we'll go to Dollywood. And she said that she got on the phone with her mom, who is super religious, and told her about the prayer of St. Anthony and said, say the prayer and it'll show up. So she says the prayer to St. Anthony, her mom does, and she calls Stacy back and she says, is there luggage in your closet that you haven't used for a while? I think it's in there. Stacy, I swear to you guys, I swear on St. Anthony, this is a true story. She goes into the closet and she opens up the luggage that she hadn't used in like 6 months, and the freaking passport was in there.
How amazing. All right, so tell her the St. Anthony prayer.
Well, there are two different versions. One's like the long version and the one's like the TikTok version. You're just going to have to go online and just decide how much time you got for St. Anthony. But he listens to all of them.
So in other words, Bert's not going to tell you. You need to Google St. Anthony prayer. And there you go.
There was another one also where there was a key missing in the office, and we did this on the air, and I prayed to St. Anthony, and I moved back in my chair, and the cushion on the chair wasn't secure to the chair, so it fell off, and the key was underneath the cushion of the chair and fell off onto the ground. I swear to you guys.
Won't he do it?
I swear to you.
Did you say, won't he do it?
That's what they say in church.
Won't he do it? Katie's over here like, I get it. Thank God.
Won't he do it? Yes, he will.
Thank God we got another religious person in here. I'm out here looking like a fool.
All right, so it's the prayer to St. Anthony. Like I said, he picks up on the first ring every time, so good luck.
Get it? The Bert Show.
All right, she has to have a really tough conversation with her husband this weekend because they had a plan going into their life, and now she's changed everything, and she knows this is going to be kind of ugly over the weekend. Kristen's got the email.
Bert Show, I hope you're all doing great. I'm hoping to ask for some advice. A year ago, I became a mom. Yes, it's been a huge blessing. However, it has also been incredibly challenging.
Well, that is one way to put it.
Pregnancy and motherhood have been far tougher than I ever anticipated, and it's left me realizing something important. I don't want more kids. One child has stretched me thin, and I've come to understand my limits. I've never fully grasped the toll that pregnancy and raising a child would take on me, mentally, physically, emotionally. The sleepless nights, the constant worrying, the sacrifices, it's all been overwhelming. I love my little one more than anything in the world, but I've reached a point where I know I can't go through this again. I don't want to compromise my well-being or the well-being of my family by taking on more than I can handle. I've put a lot of thought into this decision, and I know it's the right one for me. Now comes the hardest part, telling my husband. We've always talked about having a bigger family. I know he won't be happy with my change of plans. I know this conversation won't be easy. I'm hoping for some advice on how to tell him. I'm sure other couples have had a disagreement about kids and family size. I'd love to know how they've worked through it. Maureen.
Hmm. Well, I feel like your husband
has...
How
would you guys take to that?
I feel like your husband has to have noticed how this has affected you. I mean, if you're saying this has stretched you so thin to where you want to change your future plans for kids, like, I'm assuming he has noticed at some point that this is a lot harder than you guys both expected. So I don't think this will come as a complete shock. And I don't think he's going to be as unprepared for this conversation than you think.
Yeah, so that first year is very hard. At least it was for myself and for my husband. Thankfully, I didn't have to deal with any postpartum depression or anxiety. I just, as far as the sleep deprivation, the toll it took on my and my husband's relationship, and like, we even talked about this in studio the other day with Bert, and I don't even think it was on air. I think it was off air. Like, you know it's going to be hard. Like, you're responsible for another human being, but it's just, it's baffling that you don't fully comprehend how hard it's going to be. So I feel like right now, I am validating your feelings. You're only a year in, and that first year is tough. I think you are honest with your husband about your feelings right now, but to make that hard press, this is how it's going to be in the future, give yourself time to deal with the postpartum feelings and emotions and visit this like in another couple years, you know, and you might feel differently. And if you don't, that's okay too. But it's not fair to your husband not to involve him in this process and in your mindset, in your thinking, just so you guys are on the same page together.
Yeah, just to echo Kristen's sentiment, that first year it's amazing, but also hell on earth as you get used to it. And I would go ahead and get yourself checked for postpartum depression, just in case anyway, just to make sure. But if you really don't want to have more kids, then don't. Like, don't let anybody talk you into it. But again, I've been there, and now I have a almost 4-year-old, and it does get easier as they get older for some kids. My younger one is like insane and crazy. Love him. But so here's the thing. Like, I just told my husband, because we were thinking about a third, and I just told him, I'm done. I don't want any more. It's just because it's too much and it is so hard. And a lot of people don't realize your postpartum period can last up to 7 years now, is what new research is showing. And anyway, you have built in time because they recommend you wait at least a year and a half before having another kid to let your body fully recover. You're not even there yet. So medically, no one is going to recommend that you try and get pregnant again so soon. So like Kristen said, you got a couple of years. Wait till your kid's 3. I have friends who have 8-year-olds who just had a newborn. And it's fantastic because they can balance both. So just because it's no right now, and you can say that it's no right now, doesn't mean it has to be no forever. And it's okay if it is.
I would just add this to what they're saying, because I totally think what they're saying is great advice. As the guy here, I would just like a heads up that at least you're having those thoughts now, and give yourself, because if you tell me that we're done without, and we've never had a conversation about it, I'm floored by that. But at least now you can bring up what Cassie and Kristen said and at least say, these are the thoughts I'm having. I don't know how real they are. And then circle back in a year when you really have some clarity. Does that make any sense?
It makes total sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Get it. The Bert Show.
This weekend is Pride in the ATL. And we have not one, not two, but 3 members of the LGBTQ community who are single.
Gay.
So Rebecca, Amber, and Katie are all in here. and they all have one singular mission this weekend for Pride. It's not celebrating love, acceptance, and inclusivity. It's finding a partner.
Yes. Now, this should be the time. If we are going to be a part of this parade and Pride weekend here in our city, that means all of the options are going to be out there, right?
Right.
And I know that Rebecca, myself, and Amber are very much so single.
Mm-hmm. All right. Single.
Mm-hmm. So what a perfect place to find love than at the Pride Parade.
All right. So what's the plan, ladies? Like, you're going into this weekend, and we're all going to be down there together at the Pride Parade, dressed in our Barbie attire. Mm-hmm. So what is your, we know what the goal is, but what is the game plan?
See, here's the thing.
Yeah?
I didn't tell them about this.
Oh, you did it?
No. I'm issuing a challenge.
I found out 5 seconds ago. Yeah.
This is a setup. This is literally a setup. Who's the better gay?
Oh, we have to have a championship gay belt made. And whoever comes in on Monday gets the belt, man.
Is it just like one big strap on? Wow. Dark Mode Abby has entered the chat.
Thank God.
In the 9 o'clock hour, Dark Abby is the new member of the Burt Show. Every 9 o'clock hour.
All right, so just so we can paint a picture here. Rebecca, which Barbie will you be dressed up as?
I will be Skater Barbie.
Oh, the rollerblading Barbie?
Yes.
Okay, in the full neon.
Oh, I'm going to be in drag.
Perfect.
Yeah,
nice.
Amber, which Barbie are you going to be?
It's going to be very hard for me to find the love, but I'm going to be Weird Barbie.
Okay. If you've seen the movie, you're very understand. Like, Weird Barbie is the Barbie that little girls played with and chopped all her hair off and drew all over her face and was always ended up with, like, you know, the weirdest dressed, hence Weird Barbie. And Katie, which Barbie will you be representing this weekend?
I will be President Barbie.
Of course. Okay.
Okay, nice. Now, the stakes are, I mean, you guys are talking about love. Can we dumb this down just to like a casual hookup?
Yes, please.
Or a date. What about like a kiss?
Does it have to be love?
Well, anybody. I mean, there's so much love and like just freedom. Any of you all can get kissed at the Pride Parade.
Like, I'm just looking for a free drink, dude.
The bar is low. What it's about so whoever low. Can get someone to rent a U-Haul first?
But that happens the moment we shake hands. What do you mean?
Here are the keys to the U-Haul.
Can we have a sliding scale? Like, all right, kiss.
1 point.
Is at the bottom rung, right?
No, we're making points, Bert. But we'll have a point
okay,
system.
Points.
If you get a kiss,
so you
get a point.
Yeah.
Is this gay bingo?
Someone buying you a drink would be another point.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. What's the next one? I feel like if it comes out of my mouth, it'll be creepy, but if one of the women suggests these, then it's going to be way better received.
Okay, securing a date, like actually securing a date, that's 5 points, okay?
How do you do that, Katie? I'm going to need your help.
No, every woman for herself. You got
it. Is that like getting someone's Insta or a phone number or something? Ooh. That goes...
Okay, securing the actual date, like having an actual date on the calendar is 5 points, but securing a number or Insta... that'll be another point.
I think they should be separate.
A number is a point.
I think a number should be 2 points because that's harder to get.
Okay. Yeah.
An Insta or Snapchat is one.
Social is one. Okay.
Do we have making out on there?
Ooh.
Well, we just have kiss.
Well, kiss is different from a makeout sesh.
I can definitely get a kiss, but a makeout.
Because a kiss could be on the cheek.
Yes.
Right? But then sloppy makeout.
You just gave away my secret, Katie. Cassie.
I'm just laying it all out there.
Okay. Katie, think about you walking out of Kramer's that night. That's a makeout, okay?
So that's 2 points.
With the random.
Yeah, okay. Right.
That was before she got traded to the lesbian team.
Yeah, that was worse.
Okay. All right, so what I have so far is for 1 point. Get somebody to buy you a drink is 1 point. Kissing, a kiss is 1 point. Snagging somebody's socials is 1 point. A makeout is 2 points. Securing the digits is 2 points. And actually securing a date is 5 points.
Okay.
Where's naked on there? Where's naked?
Oh, doing
Nakey.
It?
Oh, hook up is like a...
Don't worry.
What?
It.
10 points?
Yeah.
I feel like making out should be 3 points.
No, it's not. It's 2.
No.
this is pride, Amber. Everyone's making out.
Yeah. Oh, crap. You're right. Yeah. Anything like that.
So then whoever has the most points will be the winner.
It'll probably be Katie. I'm accepting that.
You have been in the game since, the start. What do you mean? You've been a dollar bean way longer than I have.
I've also been single longer than everybody in this room.
I feel like Naked should have so many points that if you add all the other ones up, it shouldn't be.
Okay.
It shouldn't add up to what Naked is.
Okay.
So Naked should be 20 points.
All right, hookup's 20 then.
Does it only count if it's everything gay for me?
Oh, that's not fair. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's bisexual.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's got more options.
You can't, because being bi means both sides, and that's all part of pride. We're inclusive.
T, I'm going to find myself a non-binary Alan.
Rebecca, if you can do both, you've won the game.
Okay. Get it. The Bird Show.
I'm going to give you not one, but two things to feel good about this Friday. We have two Burt's Big Adventure kiddos who have just finished their cancer treatments.
That's huge. All right. That's the important stuff right there.
Yes, it is. So this morning, the one and only Stella, she is 7 years old. She's one of our Burt's Big Adventure kiddos from last year. She's ringing the bell this morning to celebrate the end of her leukemia treatments, which is amazing. Spectacular. I mean, this girl is just, her heart, she's so sweet. Her family, they're all awesome. And then another incredible kid, Corbin, he is 9 years old. He's actually one of our Burt's Big Adventure kiddos from this past year, has leukemia as well. He rang the bell on October 6th to commemorate the end of his cancer treatments, and here's what it sounded like.
Okay, you ready?
Ready.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
time to ring the bell. The day has finally come. We're singing and we're clapping because your treatment's done. The good days and the bad days, you really stuck it out. Your strong determination, it makes us want to shout. Woo! We're all so glad we met you with all the joy you bring. We know we're gonna miss you, but make that bell go ring. Woo!
Makes my heart so happy.
I know. Gosh. It gives me the goosebumps, everything. So a huge congratulations to Corbin and his family. Huge congratulations to Stella and her family. We're both so proud of everything you've accomplished and endured.
Yeah, I just let me piggyback on that. You know, if you've never been through the process or you've never seen anybody go through the process, what you're hearing there is the ring of a bell and joy. But what you don't see are the endless nights of pain, the days in and days out of going through protocols, or one day feeling great and then the next day ending up back in the hospital. Then you think you've got this window of clearance because you've been feeling great, only for a doctor or nurse to call you and tell you, like, you got to come back in. It takes so much courage and so much bravery for anybody. Mm-hmm. How these kids do it each and every day. Yeah, it's a bell ringing, but there's a story behind each and every one of those that is just so beautiful and is so filled with courage that it just makes my heart so happy. So congratulations to those guys and anybody else that gets one of those bells that's rung also.
I know, right? And I think this is the perfect chance for us to remind you guys about our Burt's Big Adventure raffle. That's all courtesy of RBM of Alpharetta. So if you would like to purchase a raffle ticket, you can go to burtsbigadventure.org or you can go to theburtshow.com. We have all the information at both sites. But yeah, for just $100, you could be driving off with a brand new 2023 Mercedes-Benz GLA 250 SUV. Again, they're only $100 a raffle ticket. All the money goes to Burt's Big Adventure. Your last chance to enter is October 25th, but we typically sell out. There's only 2,500 tickets up for grabs. So you got pretty good odds to drive away with the brand new Mercedes-Benz with just $100.
For just $100. So I think Kristen covered everything there. And if we reach our goal this year, then we will hit the $1 million mark with RBM of Alpharetta. So fingers crossed there. You guys got all weekend and you have, we said the 25th. What we should have said is the 20th because it'll sell out by then. But you have until the 25th. Go ahead, buy those raffle tickets this weekend at the Burt Show or burtsbigadventure.org. All right, Abby, do tell. She's got the email here. Two of her best friends ghosted her 3 years ago. Three years ago. Now, one of them has reached out to reconnect. Should she or not. Abby's got the email.
Hi, Bert Show. I really need some advice on dealing with a friend that ghosted and now wants to reconnect. I love you guys, and I'd really appreciate any advice you can give me. When I was 19, my life revolved around two dear friends, whom I'll call Chloe and Sarah. Over the course of 2.5 years, we formed a tight-knit trio, sharing the highs and lows of life, from breakups to breakdowns, in parentheses, shout out to Abby. Not me shouting out myself, it's in the email. We were best friends of the highest order, or so I thought. Then, out of the blue, Sarah started excluding me from gatherings and events. Everyone else would be out having a great time, but I received no invitation. This hurt deeply especially because we'd been so close. Whenever I confronted Sarah about it, she brushed it off with flimsy excuses, claiming she thought I was busy or working. That excuse didn't hold up for a tier one best friend. Slowly, both Chloe and Sarah began to freeze me out, and before I knew it, all connections were severed. I tried reaching out, and eventually I gave up. My heart was broken, and I couldn't fathom what had gone wrong or why our friendship had taken such an abrupt turn. Time went by, and a year passed without a word between us. Chloe, however, broke the silence. She sent a short happy birthday message, but I soon stopped responding. I couldn't pretend everything was fine after being ghosted for a year. After a year ago, Chloe followed me on Instagram and sent a message attempting to reconnect. I attempted to dig into what had happened, but she offered yet another lame excuse, saying she thought I didn't want to be friends anymore. The irony was that Sarah and Chloe were the ones who initially ghosted me. Our conversation was brief and lacked any depth, and then a year and a half ago, I moved across the country. At that time, I was 23, busy, and had no desire to reconnect without an answer. Last week on my 25th birthday, I couldn't help but peek at Sarah's Instagram story out of sheer curiosity. The devastating reality hit me. I had missed her wedding, something we had always talked about. Sarah then followed me on Instagram, and I accepted. Not because I wanted to be friends, but because I genuinely cared about them. On my birthday, both Sarah and Chloe sent DMs wishing me a happy birthday. I responded with a short, thank you. Sarah didn't reply, but Chloe did, asking how I was and expressing a desire to reconnect. Now I'm at a crossroads, and I'm torn. Part of me longs to reconnect with my old friend, but I can't simply ignore the elephant in the room. What happened in the past? Do I respond, or should I just let go and move on with my life, with or without my old friend? At this point in my life, I am more open to reconnecting, but how do I know if I'm ready? I'm not even sure what to say or how to broach the subject. I'd appreciate any advice, especially from Kristen, who's faced similar friend ghosting experiences. Thanks, T.
As far as my ghosting experience, it was with one friend in particular, and that's just because she was the first one to get married, she was the first one to have kids, and she kind of I don't want to say she excommunicated herself from us, but she was at a different point in her life than we were, and we would invite her to things, and a person can only say no so many times before you're like, all right, I'm just not going to invite you anymore, you know? Now, with this instance, it seems Chloe is the one that is more willing to speak. I would try to actually not via text or anything like that, but an actual conversation, maybe a FaceTime, and be brutally honest and be like, I really want to reconnect with you. However, I'm really scared about getting hurt again, because from my perspective, you and Sarah pulled away and you ghosted me, and kind of explain where you're coming from. And then maybe she can like give some sort of explanation and some closure there. And that's when you can decide whether or not you even want to pursue this.
Yeah. Three's such
my
a hard
number. Is- Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Bird. Go for it.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
Hey, 3 is such a hard number, especially with girls, because I feel like instead of confronting emotional issues that come up, sometimes 2 people will just pair up, and it's almost like they kind of gang up on the other person, which is what I think happened here with you. And they just decided to not let you in on that conversation, which is incredibly hurtful. So I'm with Kristen. Be brutally honest. Put it all out there.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bird Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Bird Show.